join me in prayer, please? Father God, we just come before you, and there's something powerful that just touches us deep down inside, and we proclaim your greatness. Lord, we go through hard times on this earth. There's hard situations even as we speak. There's a hurricane hitting Florida. And Lord, we've seen the effect of a hurricane in Texas. And Lord, there's just people that are suffering right now. And so Lord, we want to come before you and we proclaim that you are great. We don't necessarily understand your ways. We do know this world is broken. And in a broken world, bad things happen. But we also know that you show up when people are hurting, when people are suffering. And Lord, your people show up. Where would this world be when tragedy happens without your church? So Lord, use us as we go forward. Lord, use us as your church to help bring healing to this land. And Lord, it starts with our own hearts. So Lord, use your word today to strengthen us, to encourage us, to compel us to action if necessary. We represent your body. Help us to be what it is you're calling us to be. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm excited to start our new series on the Holy Spirit, even though I will tell you it's kind of an extension of where we were this summer. If you were here the last couple weeks, it was really pretty awesome. We had Jen Cross spoke and Robbie spoke, and they just did this great, awesome job. And people come up to me and they're like, "Wow, you know," people expressed like surprise. Which, if you were surprised, maybe you didn't know them, but it was kind of cool to see other people come up here and the Holy Spirit used them, and people said to me, weren't that awesome? Weren't you just surprised? I'm like, no, I wasn't. You see, that's kind of who we are as a church. I got to tell you, I'm going to share this with you, and as we enter into this series on the Holy Spirit, I have this expectation, and it's based on the Word of God. I expect that when God's people actually get to a place of sincerity, and actually, when they actually believe this, and they actually live as we're compelled to live, I expect amazing things to happen. I mean, that's who God is, right? We are predictable. It's boring. It's just kind of all these things. Maybe it's general variations of the other, but in the natural, there's just not great things that happen all the time, right? But with God, it's like this amazing adventure, and don't really know what to expect next, but you expect something. And whatever it is, it's going to be powerful. Now, we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that just don't, we have a bad explanation of what the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is, what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. Maybe a lot of us have apprehensions because we've seen some odd things happen out there in the name of the Holy Spirit. And it gets kind of different in a hurry, but what we're going to do is we're going to work our way through what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. And in that, what you're going to find is that there are there's some amazing truths in there, and they're for everybody in this room. Now, what you saw throughout this summer, we had, Aaron Groves spoke, and we see people kind of emerging, raising up into leadership. We have new people that are going to be serving in various areas within the church, doing all kinds of things. All of these things are being compelled by the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not just pulling people aside randomly and saying, here's some information, do this. We're trying as a church to get in line with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I just want to say, I say this all the time, and don't think this sounds like I'm scolding you. I hate that. But I am speaking truth that's convicting. See, I sat in a church for a long time, like a bump on a log. That's what I thought Christians did, right? We just go to church and Let the educated people do all the stuff, right? Let the person who's been to, you know, to several years of college, let him do the teaching. Let the person that's been doing all these things for a long time, I'll just kind of sit back, do my time, and then go home and watch football. I was that way for several years. And I was missing it. I just missed it. And over time, suddenly this started to get into me, and I started to realize there's something more here. And if I'm really truly honest, in those years, I didn't really want it. Because, see, I was too busy worried about myself. See, one thing about the Holy Spirit, one thing about God is you surrender to God. When he's Lord of your life, you don't get to call the shots anymore. See, that's really what we struggle with. Because, you know, one thing that I will tell us, and we learned this through our Romans chapter 8 text, is that there are no hindrances to any of this except you. That's it. You're the only hindrance there is. But if we're really truly honest, there's things we're going to be talking about that, quite frankly, I just want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to live a life of service to the Lord. I want to have my cake and eat it too, right? I want to be able to live a life that's all about me. And then my picture of heaven is that's all about me too. But I'm wrong on both counts. See, Jesus, it wasn't all about him. It was about service. It was about sacrifice. But that's where all the power is. So that's what we're going to be talking about as we go through this series in Acts. Now, I want to break it down for us into three main areas we're going to be covering. We talk about the Holy Spirit, and it's important that we define these things theologically somewhat. I'm not going to throw just a ton of stuff at you. I'm just going to give you the basic. If you want the really meaty stuff, sign up for systematic theology. But we're going to cover a little bit of it. We're going to kind of break it down into three main areas when we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Areas where we use this language that gets interchangeable and it gets all convoluted, and before long somebody's saying one thing and they're actually meaning something else, and we're just going to kind of straighten it all out a little bit. So the first thing we're going to talk about of the three things, we're actually going to talk about number two today because we're kind of going off of where we were the last several weeks. But the first thing, the first category, so to speak, as we kind of put these in order, is the first one is what they call the gift of the Spirit. So the gift of the Spirit is one thing. It's kind of that initial receiving. When you come to faith in Jesus Christ, there's something that happens. John chapter 3, being born again in the Spirit, it's that gift of the Holy Spirit. The second thing when we talk about the Holy Spirit is we talk about the gifts, plural, of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are these powers that God gives us to serve him and to serve the church. They're not individual powers. They're not for personal gain. They're not for personal glory. I think that's where a lot of people go wrong when we talk about spiritual gifts. The key to understanding spiritual gifts is that they are to serve God and the church. So oftentimes people, I don't know, they just kind of get in this place spiritually where they think they're superior, or they have gained access to something that is just for their own personal benefit. And all that stuff is garbage. And if that's your pursuit, you're going to miss it. See, part of everything that the Holy Spirit wants to do, and we're going to talk, you'll see this time and time again, is the Holy Spirit, it's all about Jesus, it's all about the kingdom of God, and it's all about others. And if you're not living that kind of life, you're not going to experience any power in the Holy Spirit. Not a lot. Maybe that initial saving faith, that initial coming to Jesus moment. But then after that, if we don't move into this posture of surrender and obedience, all we're left with is religion. That's when church gets boring and predictable. And just a bunch of people that show up. It was the same thing it was the last time. It's the same thing. You know, I got to just say this. I went to a church that I hadn't been to for 20 years. I went there, and it was the same thing that it was 20 years ago. I'm thinking, what is the deal? Really? That's not necessarily what it's supposed to be. Okay? There's just got to be something more. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the third thing are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So the fruits of the Holy Spirit, these are characteristics of a believer or virtues of a believer that develop over time of walking in obedience. So we talk about, you know, we talk about the fruits of the Spirit. You can't just suddenly make yourself more loving, more joyful. This is something that it's a character trait that just develops over years of walking with Jesus and living a selfless life. So we're going to be covering all those in Scripture as we go through. To begin, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, and we're going to see the initial gifting of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, starting with verse 4. Now, if you're familiar, just real quick, as we talk about Pentecost, and we talk about Jesus' ascension to heaven, right where we're at in Acts chapter 1. Every year when we celebrate Easter, we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. We know that according to the Word of God, that Jesus walked on the earth for 40 days after he was raised from the dead. Okay, he appeared to his disciples. We have biblical evidence that Jesus, sometimes people think that it's just kind of this weird thing, but there's so much evidence that goes along this with this. But for 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples. He would actually eat with them, have fellowship with them, conduct Bible studies with Jesus after he was resurrected. On the 40th day, he ascended to heaven, and 10 days later, we have the first Pentecost post-resurrection, which was the beginning of the church, where the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out. And for 2,000 years, the church has been being led by the Holy Spirit. Now, in Acts 1, verse 4, it says, "Once when he was eating with them," just imagine a post-resurrected Jesus just sitting down having dinner with them. It's kind of cool, right? So, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but so Jesus is sitting there. He commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift that he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And we're going to see Jesus is promising this. He's promising. The Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Spirit is coming. And then he says, "So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, 'Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?'" I find this timely and interesting because everybody's asking, "Do you think we're coming to the end of the world with all the hurricanes and all the things that are going on?" And my answer to that is, I don't know, possibly. But this is one of the reasons why I give that answer, because they're asking him essentially, "Is this the end? Is this the end? Is this time?" And he says, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know." So everybody trying to figure out when Jesus is going to return, is this the end? I'm telling you, don't even bother. You need to live every day like Jesus could return. People get so swept up and, "Ooh, it's this date or it's that date." Just don't waste your time. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. It could be 100 years from now. It's not for us to know, but it is for us to live as the Scripture commands us to live. He says, they're not for you to know. Verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." It's a good thing that God doesn't let us know, because you know what we do in our human nature? Is we'd like wait till like 2 days before Jesus came back to actually do this, right? "Ooh, Jesus is coming back Thursday. I better go out and witness for a while," right? And so the point is Jesus paints this picture of what the Holy Spirit's primary purpose is going to be. And this word power, it's actually the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get dynamite from. Power, boom, explosion. It's like this idea. It's not, "You'll have some power." Just some power. It's crazy. It's boom, it's power. And it's this idea, and that's why it's always so interesting how church, so oftentimes we get this picture of power. don't tell anybody. Well, it's just not like that. It's just totally different picture. And so, it's this idea of being a witness. Now, one of the things that is so important, and I'm going to set this as we go through the Holy Spirit, is there's kind of this mindset that's out there, especially in the American church, that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to give us happy, slappy goosebumps and make our life awesome all the time. And that is just not true at all. I'll tell you that some of the greatest fellowship moments with the Holy Spirit come in the moments of extreme suffering. So you got to get out of that mindset that the Holy Spirit just wants to make everything wonderful and rainbow drops and gumdrops, and it just spoils the American church, because then people get this mindset that, well, if it's hard, then it can't be from God. Ministry is hard. I don't care. And I'm talking about all things done in service of the Lord. It's difficult. Do you think the enemy wants you to serve the church or serve God? Do you think there won't be opposition, whether it be within yourself or whether it be from the powers of darkness? But true spirit power and true service of God, it pushes through all that. It perseveres and it lasts. And we got to have the mindset to be a part of that. It's interesting to me. You know, yesterday is just the perfect example. We're gonna be talking about this. You know, yesterday was a beautiful afternoon. And there were a lot of things that a lot of people could be doing. But I'll tell you what, there were a bunch of people here yesterday serving the community of Newton because they love Jesus. And there were a lot of people here fellowshipping, and as Aaron said, well over 500. That's how many meals we could count. There were a lot of people in the park, and could have been 1,000. I don't know. But what would you do to have an opportunity to be a witness to 1,000 people for Jesus? And it was just, you know, some people, you know, maybe they had schedule conflicts, whatever it was. But I'm telling you, folks, if you are not looking for these moments, if you're not seeking what the Holy Spirit is telling you what to do, you're going to miss it. I missed it for years, and I'm never going to miss it again. And so we have this picture. So let's jump to Romans chapter 12. I want to just kind of really quickly, before we get into that, I want to give you, as we enter into our ministry year, I want to give you some kind of serving totals. And it's pretty amazing. A lot of you people I know are serving in various areas of the church, and a lot of you signed up for classes. We always talk about connect, grow, and serve. It's kind of the three words that, as a believer, you're in one of those three areas. You're either connecting, whether it be to a church or God's people, or in some form you're connecting, or you're growing, connect, grow, or you're serving. It's kind of one of those three areas. The fourth area is not do nothing, okay? So you're either connecting, you're growing, or you're serving, and I'm just going to challenge us on that, because if you're not doing anything, then your next three are sit, soak, and sour, if that's what you do. And you're probably one of those people, it's like, you know, I just don't get that much out of church anymore. And, you know, church used to be wonderful. It used to be great. And I used to get all these feelings in church. But, you know, not so much anymore. I don't know what happened. Well, you probably chose to sit, soak, and sour. Plain and simple. So connect, grow, and serve. I want to give you a snapshot of where we're at as we head into our ministry year. So as we know of right now, our discipleship, and, you know, kudos to Marcy, who's the head of our discipleship program here at The Way. We have well over 300 people that are registered. You count from kids, nursery. We have 42 kids that are actually registered for nursery. Over 90 kids that are registered for Journey 252, which is actually a lot higher than we had last year. So those are registered. We're always way over that. So these are registered numbers. Route 146, we have 40 kids registered for our youth ministry. Men's ministry, about 35, 40 men. Women's ministry, 30, you know, that are actually signed up for the new women's ministry class. I think they have right around 40-ish signed up for that. Vantage Point, 3 classes, 43 people. Theology, 14. You kind of add that all together, it's 300-plus people that are actually growing. that are in some state of growing. And that doesn't count the people that are doing other things as well. But those 300 plus people, they don't just show up for class and then like get handed a book and say, there, go read that in the corner and have fun. We have leaders and facilitators, and we have over 80 people that are actually leading and facilitating those classes. So that alone is 400 people, things that are going on. Now, that doesn't count Sunday mornings. We have a pool of volunteers, 150 people, that have said, you know what, I want to serve on Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, we have 20-plus people that are serving a service times two every Sunday morning. So over, 40 people, perhaps. I don't know. Some of them people do both services. But the point I'm making is that there's just a ton of people that are involved. But I would also just say there's a lot of people who aren't. And again, if you're not, ask yourself why not. Because I want you to be blessed. I want you to experience what the Bible talks about. I want you to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit more so than just the saving experience. I want you to walk in your gifts. Where would we have been last week if Robbie had decided, you know what? I'm just not going to do that. Or Jen or decided that, or anybody for that matter, anybody that you see speaking or talking. What if at some point somebody said, you know what, never mind, I'm not going to do that. It's just too much. Where would we be? That's not how the kingdom of God works. There's always somebody that steps up, and it's all orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. I want to take you to Romans chapter 12. I want to show you in verse 6. Again, we're talking about the gifts. Now, before we go too far into Romans chapter 12, I want to give you a couple of definitions here. The word that we're working with here is called charisma. Now, I know that a lot of people think that charisma means somebody who's just like really cool and interesting, right? That actually is kind of the secular definition of charisma. Do you know that charisma actually evolved from a Greek word? And the Greek word for charisma, it describes, so the definition, if you kind of look it up in Webster's Dictionary, there's kind of two portions to the word charisma. The first part is a compelling attractiveness or charm that can inspire devotion in others, right? Okay, yeah, that's kind of the definition I know. But the other part is that is a divinely conferred power or talent. Charisma comes from the Greek word, which means gift, favor, grace. Comes right out of Scripture. So what the secular world has done is they said, oh, that person has charisma. Years ago, that attractiveness was attributed to God. Now it's attributed to man. If somebody's attractive, like a movie star or something, nobody gives any credit to God for that. That's got to be them. It's not how it works. There's this gifting, and there's this peace from God that is inherent in all people. Just a lot of people, that they don't really have the fuel to make it go in a way that brings glory to God. It's all geared to bring glory to themselves. I told the story, and this is part of my own personal development. When I was younger, I kind of prided myself in the fact that I was pretty charming and kind of get my way on things. I could get people around my way of thinking, and I just kind of had that power. Remember when I was in college, I had a college professor that said to me, because he's talking to me, you know what, Steve? When you get out of college, you need to go into sales. He said, because you're like the greatest artist I've ever met in my life. So he said to me. And the truth of the matter is, it was all just kind of for personal gain. But somewhere along the line, I realized that there's stuff that God does in our lives. And if it's not surrendered to Him, if it's not for His glory, then it's for our glory. And it's just not what it's supposed to be. So there's this piece of being a follower of God, being in tune to what the Holy Spirit is doing. One of the basic elements is it's for God and what he wants to do. It's the most selfless, sacrificial thing you can do. You want to be used by the Holy Spirit? Be an empty vessel. The more empty you are to yourself, the more benefit you're going to be with God. And that's just the way it is. And I wish I could sit here and tell you, well, that's, you know, that's not true. You can have your cake and eat it too. But I can't find that anywhere in Scripture. I can't find it. So we go to our Romans chapter 6. It says, in his grace, or Romans, sorry, 12, verse 6, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Now, one thing I'll tell you as they walk through spiritual gifts, we're going to see a bunch of spiritual gifts. Jesus had them all. He had them all, and he had them all in equal levels. Now, just because, you know, it's not like you're sitting there and you got one. So somewhere in here is your one gift. There are elements of all these gifts in every person, but some people have a specific gift in a specific area. That is just more. So I could sit here and say, well, I don't have the kindness gift, so I don't really have to be nice to people, right? Or I don't have a generosity gift. So, you know, there you go, offering plate. Bye, see you later. I don't have the generosity gift. But there's elements of this in all of us at different levels. Some people just have higher pieces that are in there. But one of the things that's most important when it comes to spiritual gifts is that there's a thread that holds it all together. And that thread is ultimately love. So it says, don't pretend to love others. Verse 9, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. So let's go back to a moment for this idea about serving in spiritual gifts and sacrificing. You're not going to do it for very long if you don't love Jesus and love the people that you're sacrificing for. At some point, it's not going to be worth it. Matter of fact, this is one of the greatest tests for people that think they should go into ministry. All kinds of people, you know, you get these people who say, well, I want to do what you do. I want to do what Matt does. I want to do, you know, I want to go into ministry. But here's the thing. It's not easy. And the only reason why you continue to do it is because of love. That's it. Everybody loves ministry this time of year. Come see me in January and February. I think I'm going to call in sick today. Just how it goes. What makes people get up and do things? What made people sign up to lead children? What made people do the things that they do? Out of obligation? Well, what do people think of me? That doesn't work for long. Eventually you get to a point, I don't care what people think of me. I'm not doing that. But when there's love, I love Jesus. I want people to know Jesus. I don't care who's playing football. I don't care what's going on. I don't care. I just want people to be saved. I want people to come into the kingdom of God. I don't care. You know what? The kingdom of God is eternal. Football is temporary. Who cares? That's been my wrestling match my whole life. And see, this is this idea when you get to that place where you love people. Even people when they, you know, people don't always come in happy in ministry. Some people come in and they got kind of a stinking attitude. But you love people. And you just kind of push through, you persevere through in the name of Jesus. That's what it means to serve according to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's how these gifts manifest themselves. It says, don't pretend to love others. Really love them. Don't play. Do things because you love people. It says, hate what is wrong. Hold tightly what is good. Love each other with a genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Genuine affection. Goes on to say, verse 11, never be lazy. Whoops, what if we say never be idle, never be indifferent, never be apathetic. Never be those things. Never be complacent. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically with zeal. With zeal. You know, it's kind of interesting. Matt said the things that he did. And I remember years ago, I saw this video where it had a person in a church saying, well, I don't never raise my hands in church. And I never really shout or make any noise in church. And then it cuts to him at a football game. And he's sitting there going, yeah! I can be that way. Doesn't mean it's right. Why is it that we can get so enthusiastic about things of the world, but completely indifferent about the things of God? The things that last forever. You know, when you sing a verse that says, I ran out of that grave, I was dead in the tomb. Do you ever just let that sink in? Do you ever just stop for a moment? Think about where it was that you were headed eternally before the Holy Spirit stepped in and gave you a new heart that loves Jesus and calls him Lord and lives and loves God. You ever stop to think for a moment? And maybe there's people here right now that don't have a clue what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, there's a difference between not knowing Jesus and knowing Jesus and encountering the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a difference. This is not a religion. This is not a ritual. This is not a series of things that you do. It can be that if you don't allow the Spirit to lead or the Spirit to be present. That's all you've got. You've got to be legalistic. You've got to be ritualistic. You have to do all those things. But when it's genuine, it's unlike anything else on earth. And it's mind-blowing. I think sometimes we gotta take the chains off of religion. Just say, you know what? Just let the Spirit run and be willing to go with it. It says, never be lazy again. Verse 12, rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble. Keep on praying. There's going to be trouble. Persevere. Have this perseverance, endurance mindset. I think it's funny, after he says, serve the Lord enthusiastically with zeal and enthusiasm, then he goes on to say, be patient in trouble. It's coming. It's coming. I run into people that think that, well, if God's leading, then it's got to be easy and fun and good all the time. No, it's not. Sometimes it's hard. It says, when God's people are in need, be ready to help them. You know, sometimes people, they look at what the hurricanes are doing and all the devastation. They're like, well, where's God? You want to see where God is? You watch what happens after the hurricanes. You watch what happens in the midst of the hurricanes. There are people going in there to help rescue and save people and to do all these things. Where does that virtue come from? Where does it come from? There's something inside of us that we know the value of other people, and that is God. And the only reason why you would go and sacrifice for people you don't know in a place where you've never been is because all people are created in the image of God, and they have value and they have worth. And there's something in the hearts of believers that just have to respond. And they will. And they're doing that. And you're going to see this. You're going to see this. It's the same heart that takes place in emergency responders and police officers and soldiers and anybody else that serves selflessly. You know, it's amazing to me that, you know, you got people in our society that just serve the public, and they just get attacked. They get attacked. But, you know, there's something in them that still they just keep doing it, despite the attacks that they receive. What is that? It's God. Now, they may not know it. They may know it. But the point is that this is constantly, this is the virtue of God in our society. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think that you know it all. I love that. In other words, get down off your high horse. Don't think you're better than anybody else. Don't think, well, certain people are worth saving, other people, Everybody has value in the eyes of God. And you have to get to that point where you're willing to let the Holy Spirit lead you. God gets to determine what gets done, not us. And that's kind of this amazing picture. I want to jump over to Romans. We're already in Romans. I want to jump to 1 Corinthians 12. If you would, we're going to work our way through spiritual gifts. Again, this is very similar to where we were. Paul obviously is writing both letters, so there's some continuity there. But Paul writes, now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your questions about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, powers. I always, you know, we're kind of in this day and age. Everybody likes a superhero story, don't they? I always tell people, when I was younger, I always wanted to be the Hulk. Then I finally got my chance a few years of the 4th of July parade. I didn't like being green, though. I got to admit, I didn't like that. Especially because it didn't all come off like they said it was going to come off. So I was green in the parade, and I was green for a while afterwards, but it was cool. It was fun. But you think about this as a Christian. Special powers, special abilities. It's kind of cool. But the Spirit gives this to us. I don't want you to misunderstand this. People misconstrue this. They bend it and they twist it. He goes, you know that when you were still pagans, non-believers, you were led astray and swept along by worshiping speechless idols. People just get drawn hither and yon, and they get all wrapped up in all kinds of things that don't matter. He says, I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a figurative language. So no one can actually say that Jesus is the Lord of their life, surrender their lives to Christ without the Holy Spirit. This is the work that the Holy Spirit does. Now, just a real quick Trinitarian explanation. In when we talk about these things, we're talking about God. We have three persons of God. God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the Trinitarian doctrine is that all three of those persons are fully God. But they're three different persons of God. So it's not like God decides, okay, I'm going to be the Father for a while. And then he says, okay, now I'm going to be the Son. Now I'm going to be the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. You actually have God the Father. You have Jesus, the Son, and you have the Holy Spirit. They're all fully God. But they do different things, and they serve each other as one. So you talk about one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They act as one. And so we're talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has this role that he does. He imparts gifts and new life into believers. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we all serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in how many of us? All of us. There are no non-participants in the kingdom of God. There's just people that choose to do nothing. But everybody's invited to participate. It goes on to say a spiritual gift is given to each of us So why? We can help each other. That's the secret to the Holy Spirit. If you don't care about helping other people, you're going to have a powerless religion, because that's all you have left. But if you're going to let the Spirit of God compel you to love and serve others, He's going to give you the power you need to do it. And I say this because I know there's people listening right now that don't get this at all. This flies exactly in the face of the American church, quite frankly. Build us a comfortable place. Give me that old-time religion. Don't change anything. Let me make it predictable so that if I don't go, I don't really miss anything. And folks, that is not what it is. People come to church not so that they can just be spoon-fed and told about God so they can get filled up and go home. They come to church so that they can love and serve others. And when you cross over into that, then you're finally in the place where all the power is. And I say that with all the love I can muster, all the love that I can muster, because I want you to experience the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in a new way, in a fresh way. And I want you to feel that so many of us feel. It says, we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. You don't get to choose the gift. I did not choose this, and I fought it for a long time. That was part of my wrestling match. I didn't want to do this because it was going to be too in front of everybody. It was going to be too scrutinized. I wanted to serve. I wanted to tell people about Jesus, but I didn't want this responsibility. But I didn't get to choose. The only choice I had was whether or not I was going to surrender to it. That was it. And I'm telling you, I thank God, and I'm so happy that I did. And I think, what if I hadn't? What if I'd taken it easy or taken the safe route? Vicki and I talk about that all the time. We didn't know hardly any of you 8 years ago. And think about yourself, the future for you and your walk with the Lord. If you do not participate in this, what are you going to miss out on? Here's the thing that's interesting to know, and it's good news, is that God's will be done. The kingdom of God will advance. The bad news is that for some of you, you're just going to wave as it goes by. Because it's not going to stop. This is the point where you say, am I even seeking God's gifts in my life? What am I doing? I want to show you real quick. Years ago, when the way began, 9 years ago, 2009, began July of 2009. At that particular time, those of you that are from Newton or lived in Newton, that was like a really low point. People were really gut punched in 2009. I remember driving through town. There were so many boarded up businesses, and it just, you know, people, there had been suicides, crime rates, a lot of people were leaving town, and I remember when we were called to Newton, there were people that actually said, why would you want to go there? There's just lots of trouble going on there right now. And I said, that's why we want to go there. And not only that, but it's God. God wants to go there. And it's not that he wasn't here, don't get me wrong, but the point was is that he was doing something, and it was kind of interesting because there was just something, there were so many churches in the area that we got to know, and we came here, and there was just this sense that God was doing something really cool in this area, in this region. And he was. And I remember over 8 years ago, I saw this video. You know, remember the old flash mob video? This was like the first one. And as I watched this video, I thought, you know what? This is a picture of what the way is going to be. This is a picture of the church, and this is going to be a picture of the way as we continue to go forward. And I want to show you this video. And what I want you to notice is how things build. Then also notice the people standing and watching. There's going to be people there that are kind of standing there going, what are they doing? But then there's people kind of getting into it. And I remember I showed, this is a picture of the way. This is the picture of the church. This is where we're going to be. I just thought it'd be kind of fun to pull that back as we begin this series. This represents the work of the Spirit. Isn't that fun? You can applaud. Some of you want to applaud for that. You can applaud for that. I remember we showed that video. I think we had about 75 people in the service and like 10 people signed up to serve the entire church. And I said, someday we're gonna grow and all these things are going to happen. And, you know, I really truly think we haven't seen anything yet. I really don't. I mean, I just feel like God is doing a powerful work. And I know he's doing a work in us and he's doing a work in the community and the region. And I just want to ask yourself, you know, everybody's talking about, well, Jesus, the end times, you know, all this stuff. What if Jesus comes back today? Questioner, where are you at in that video? Are you a person on the outside looking in going, are you a person maybe on the outside, maybe you're starting to clap a little? Or are you in the middle dancing? I know I'm in the middle dancing. And I'm going to dance until I go home or Jesus comes to me. Because that's where all the power is. And that's what the world needs. Christians living in their gifts and advancing the kingdom. I'm telling you, I say this all the time. This is what the world needs. So you just got to ask yourself, am I going to do it or not? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word today. And Lord, I do pray that we would just be a people, we feel that compulsion, that if we are in a place of idleness or indifference, Lord, may we stop. May we stop and just focus on you. Holy Spirit, may we be a people that are just obedient to what you're leading us to do. If we're in a place where we're struggling to understand what you're asking us to do, Holy Spirit, may we just have clarity. May we have a faith and a clarity that moves us into the places where you're calling us. But most of all, Jesus, may you just be glorified by your body here at the Way. May you be glorified by people, and we just continue to need more love for each other, more love for the region, the community, more love just for people, but especially more love for you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We thank you that we're entering a new ministry year. And so many people are going to be blessed. Every year, people are blessed. And it just makes everything worth doing. So we love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. You know, if anybody ever says, I would probably believe in Jesus if I could see him, you've got to know that the way people see Jesus is through the church. And that's the assembly of believers living out according to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you that the world can see Jesus through you. So you've got to know that. You've got to know that the thing that qualifies you is the Spirit of the Lord. So please stand, receive this blessing as you leave here today. And maybe some of you are going to go to work or wherever it is, the Spirit is going with you, and you can be a witness. So, as you do leave, leave now knowing the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ the Son, and the fellowship and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week.